Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast presented to you today by StubHub. Take a night off from nights in. Find great seats for amazing events near you. StubHub tickets are always 100% guaranteed. So why don't you go to steelcityunderground.com/tickets and find out more about StubHub, our official sponsor here. You are hearing my voice once again. I am your usual host here, Joe Kuzma, but today I have a special guest, but that's not who I'm going to introduce first. I'm going to bring back my co-host, Brian E. Roach. And Brian, how are you doing today?
It's a lovely day as usual here in South Jersey, man.
That's great to hear, but you're not the special person that we have on today. In fact, we have yet another exclusive interview, this time with a current Pittsburgh Steeler.
That's right. We'd like to take a moment and welcome Faizon Odom, tight end, to the show. Welcome, Faizon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you here. We just wanted to catch up with you. We had the opportunity to talk with you a little earlier after the draft and around rookie minicamp, but we wanted to see how things were going now and thought this would be a great opportunity now that you have some downtime in between organized activities and when training camp actually starts.
Yeah, I mean, things are going pretty good. We just finished OTAs, just finished minicamp. It gave me like a chance to kind of like open my eyes to part of the speed of the game, you know, and like an introduction to the playbook and this and that. So, I mean, now I'm just going to be like studying like my plays and then training, getting my body and my mind right for the grind of training camp.
When we talked before, we talked about where you grew up. You grew up in Barnwell, South Carolina, and yeah. You know, you were kind of a Panthers fan, kind of a Steelers fan, and at Barnum, you told me, I think Barnum is a pretty small town.
Oh, it's Barnwell, but yeah.
Barnwell, yeah.
Really, really small, yeah.
So you then went to Fordham, which is in New York City, and that's got to be about as dramatic a change as you could you could look for, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So how was that adjustment for you, going from that small town to, one of the biggest cities in the world?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely something that was different. I mean, to grow up in a place where it was really nothing much to do other than play outside and sports and play with animals and hunting and stuff like that, to a city where literally I can do something different every day of the year. It was definitely a drastic change. But I mean, it was a change that I enjoyed, and it gave me more to do. It opened my eyes to different cultures and to different things, and it helped me mature and grow up as a man. So it was definitely a good thing that I ended up in New York.
Yeah, that sounds great, man. I mean, hunting, you're going to fit in just well with everyone from Western Pennsylvania and part of West Virginia that are Steelers fans. So that won't be a problem.
That's the thing that I love about PA and Pittsburgh. I mean, when I didn't really realize this, but then like when I got there, it's like the perfect mix of New York in my hometown. It's not too much of a big city, but then at the same time, you know, you got the rural areas. Areas where like you can hunt and this and that. So, in my opinion, it's the perfect mix of the two worlds.
Awesome. Yeah, you were talking about. I think you were busy in your playbook and hadn't had a chance to get out and see the city.
Yeah.
And so now you've had that opportunity and you know that's great. That's fantastic. And I agree with you. It's a good mix because it's not too big and not too small.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. The other thing we talk about when we talk about Fordham, and as we said, not everyone in Steelers Nation is going to recognize that school, but Fordham's got a pretty rich history in football.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, if you think about the Super Bowl trophy, then you got to think about Fordham, the Vince Lombardi trophy. So, and Vince Lombardi went to Fordham, played at Fordham, coached at Fordham. So, yeah.
Did you get your did you finish up at Fordham?
Yeah, I finished. I actually just took my – I had to make up my last final like 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I have to say, as part of that, somewhere along the way, and during your path of coming from high school to college to the pros, what is maybe the best advice that anyone's ever given you? It can be a life lesson or something that actually happens on the gridiron.
My college head coach, Joe Moorhead, we had a few All-Americans on our team, like for like the first few, like my first few years there, and I didn't really get as much playing time, even though I was making plays in practice. I was working hard, and he just told me to like keep working and to just be impossible to ignore and to force his hand, and that really stuck with me to just be like just like make so many plays and to do so much that whatever coach I'm playing for can't ignore me, that I'm forcing him to play me. So, I mean, that's something that, like, stuck with me, and that's something that I always think about no matter what the, like, circumstances is whenever I'm on a team. So, yeah.
That's definitely good advice right now as you're competing with 89 other bodies out there for only 53 spots, potentially maybe some room on the practice squad as well. But you appear to be, like I said, in a very good position. But let's just say football doesn't work out in the next few years. You said you finished your degree. I'm sorry, I may have missed, but you may have said, what did you get your degree in?
Yeah, I have a dual degree in psychology and sociology.
So those would be your plans going forward? Like, what do you see yourself doing maybe with a life after football?
I'm actually not exactly sure. I wanted to maybe try to go to grad school for clinical psychology, but then I worked with the guy that was a Fordham A alum that played football at Fordham. He works in the wealth management, and he was actually my mentor in our mentor program on the team. And he works in wealth management, so that was something that caught my eye, something that I'm definitely interested in. So I kind of wanted to also try and find a way to maybe get into that if football doesn't work out.
Hey, that sounds great, too. I mean, it at this day and age, it doesn't really matter what your degree might be in. I certainly have not always worked in the field that my degree was in either. But just as long as that you have that piece of paper and can show that you're a college-educated man, I think you could go anywhere. The sky is definitely the limit.
You know, your impressions, where have you, you know, are you in Pittsburgh now? Have you gone back home? What are you spending your time doing now that you have this downtime? I know you said you're going to be in the playbook, but where are you being, I guess, in person?
Well, I guess in person, I'm going to be in, I'm currently in New York and I'm training in New Jersey to kind of get ready for, training camp. So
when do you think, you'll make a transition? Do you think you'll stay in New York until training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to go home for like a weekend to visit my family, but for the most part, I should be in New York, yes.
All right, that's cool. And are you training with anybody in particular? I mean, are you training with, you know, a specific kind of trainer?
Yeah, I'm going to be training with Geir Gudmundsson, Test Academy in New Jersey.
I know that the team has been on the upswing. You guys did well. I think your second or third season there, and we're continuing to improve.
Yeah.
So since you've gotten up, you know, into Pittsburgh, and you've now been through, as we said, you know, rookie minicamp, when the Steelers called and invited you to minicamp, did you have other teams looking at you as well?
Yeah, I had a few other teams that were calling, that were also sending me invites to mini camps. Let's see, Jaguars, the Bears, the Chiefs. Who else? It was another team. I can't quite remember right now.
That's all right. They don't matter anymore.
Yeah, they don't matter anymore. Exactly.
And just growing up, is there a particular player maybe that you looked up to? Because as I understand, you were a basketball player. I'm not sure, were you a multi-sport player in high school and or college? Or is football something you picked up along the way because you were, you know, a very tall basketball player? Somebody said, oh, we can make this guy like a tight end or a wide receiver or something on the football field.
Yeah. I mean, I played basketball and baseball. Football was something that I just picked up like on the way. My high school had a switch in head coaches, and the new head coach saw me in the hallway and asked me to come out, so I came out. But, yeah, I mean, I was going to play basketball in college also, but I ended up tearing my shoulder. And then once I got back from my shoulder, I started playing more. So I just started to, like, focus more so on football instead of trying to get another sport. Just because football was a sport that was still new to me, and I still wanted to, like, work at it, and I didn't want to distract myself playing basketball if I was on scholarship for football.
Okay, so as far as basketball, then, you probably had someone you looked up to. Were you a center or forward? Like, who was somebody that you like to emulate as a basketball player first?
I played small forward and power forward. I mean, I never really had that, like, one player that I, like, looked up to. I mean, I would always watch, like, whatever game that was on and whoever was playing. So I never really had that one particular player that I wanted to, like, be like. I always just wanted to be me and just be good.
So were you always a tight end when you got into football, or did you start maybe – were you a guy that played on both sides of the ball, or
– when I first got in, the coach tried to make me like a tight. Well, actually, I just played wide receiver when I first got in, but I still couldn't catch. I didn't really know what I was doing, so he kind of put me at DN, and I played DN for a full season. Didn't play any offense my junior year, and then once I hit, and like once my junior season ended, I started working. Like our OC was the quarterback's coach at Vanderbilt back when J. Cole was there. So he started working with me in the quarterback in the off season. He helped me out, showed me how to do like a lot of things. And once my senior year came around, I was playing like a tight end wide receiver role. And I played a little bit of defense then, but I played more so tight end and wide receiver than I did being that last year.
That's cool. So in that regard, you went to college, you entered college, recruited as a tight end then?
Yeah.
Okay. And is there someone that maybe, did you watch film on anyone, like maybe professionally, or is there anyone that, like, let's say for example, well, I don't know that we want to name Rob Gronkowski here, Brian, because we're not exactly Patriots fans. Hey, look at it this way, Faison. I mean, we realize the nature of the business. There's 32 teams and you would work for any of them, but we would all here hope that the Patriots is not one of them. So if anything, no matter how it turns out for you here in Pittsburgh, but I mean, there's some guys that are just dominant. I mean, Gronk's dominant. Travis Kelce's another name that comes up. Were these any of the guys that you kind of maybe you saw them do something and you're able to pattern your own game after?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just because it was new to me and I was still trying to pick up things. So, I mean, as I watched games, I would watch like the tight ends. So as I watched Panthers game, I would watch Greg Olsen. As I watched Saints games, I would watch Jimmy Graham. My friend and my roommate was a huge Steelers fan, so we would watch Steelers games, and I would watch Heath Miller. And then also in my freshman year, our team played Travis Kelce at Cincinnati, and he actually dogged our team. So then I started following him and watching Cincinnati and watching Gunner and their quarterback Gunner Kill, and just watching what he did. And so I mean that's kind of like how I follow people or follow other tight ends.
That's
and then just try to learn from them and see what they did to, like, be good and just try and, like, copy them.
There's definitely no better guy to watch than Heath. He's a beloved guy for sure.
Yeah.
In fact, if you get a chance and you get in one of the preseason games or you make the 53 and you get in a game, don't be surprised if after you make a catch, what you hear coming from the stands is, Heath.
Yeah, they're still doing that to Jesse James to this day. And in fact, we had a spell there too. And it's kind of odd. You're in a good position because many of the Steelers haven't had like anyone that's been drafted in the upper part of the draft, I'll say, at the tight end position, really since Heath. There was Matt Spaeth. I think Spaeth maybe came a year or two later. And then everyone since then that's come through there is still, they get him confused with Heath. There was, what, David Paulson and a few other guys that have come and gone since. But yeah. It seems like you're in a very good position because it's not as though the Steelers don't not value that position, so to speak, but it just goes to show that they're able to bring in someone like yourself, maybe, who comes through – not traditionally through the draft as a highly touted first or second round draft pick, but they're willing to spend the time and help develop you and your talents in order to help their team in return. So you're in a very good position there.
Another thing is, as we said before, rookie minicamp is kind of a mystery to fans because it's not open to fans. We don't get to see what's going on. And I think you had kind of described it as a lot of drills. But, you know, we call this – sort of this whole season gets called football in shorts because nobody's really padded up and you're not making contact yet. But what kind of difference do you see between, for example, OTAs, mini camp, and then mandatory mini camp that you've been through now?
Rookie mini camp. It just seemed like all the rookies were like out there running around with like a bunch of chickens with their head cut off. So like we were like our heads were spinning. We're excited, nervous, all these different like emotions, and then also trying to learn all these new plays, and we also got a huge chunk of the reps because we were the only ones out there, and then OTAs came, and the vets got there, and things slowed down for everybody. The rookies took less reps, of course, and then mandatory rookie minicamp came, and it was also like the same thing, so. Except we just had longer meetings and a longer practice.
Gotcha. So does a little bit of that initial shock wear off? Maybe and I bet it's overwhelming at first. You come to a new city, you do the rookie minicamp. At that time, you were not signed with the Steelers. You were signed after the rookie minicamp. Is that correct? It was more of a tryout.
Yeah.
And then you go from there and you go to OTAs and all of a sudden these guys, you know, Pro Bowl players, guys maybe you grew up watching are now sitting alongside of you in the same locker room, standing on the sidelines. What's that experience like?
Oh, I mean, it's very exciting. I mean, to see guys that I was just watching on TV a season ago, guys who are potential Hall of Famers, I mean, it's definitely – a very exciting feeling, but at the same time, I can't get too distracted by that just because I'm still trying to make the team. So I have to still focus up and not get too caught up in all those feelings.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. It's one of those things that we spoke to one of your new teammates, Keon Adams. I had the pleasure to talk to him a few weeks ago and asked him the same question. And it's like you have that initial kind of maybe the same feeling like you were just saying. You're watching him on TV, but now it's all down to business. You're just a member of the Steelers, just like anyone else. So you're in.
I know we talked about this after rookie minicamp. But now that you've had a chance to go through OTAs, you've had a chance to go through, the full mini camp, and as a result have been around, the full team. Are there any players that you look at and you still find yourself kind of going, wow?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Big Ben, like, even though he's, like, talking to me a few times, he's cracked a few jokes at me. And like he's like giving me advice, this and that. Just every time I see him come out to practice, I'm just like, I'm really catching passes from Big Ben. It's just like amazing. So I mean, that's definitely one player that still keeps me in awe.
Cool. Yeah, keep in his hip pocket. Yeah. Use that advice. Use that advice that your coach gave you, and do not let him ignore you.
Exactly.
Follow him everywhere like a puppy dog. It was a joke we made. We saw one of these videos from one of the off-season workouts here. It may have been Justin Hunter or Darius Hayward Bay or somebody, and we were saying, yeah, he knows who butters his bread. So
now your group, the tight end group, it's a decent size when considering, you know, that it's kind of boosted around maybe one or two guys being on the field at the same time. So you've got Jesse James, you've got the X-Man, Xavier Grimble, David Johnson, Scott Orndorff, and you.
Yeah.
And so give us an idea of what's it like inside the tight end room when you guys are going through all this stuff.
I mean, it's just straight to business with Coach Downs. I mean, we go in there, we go over like all the new plays that we're installing. We go over the practice film. He critiques everything. I mean, it's not anything different or exciting. It's just down to business whenever we're in that meeting room. So,
is there a guy who kind of takes the lead? Is there a guy who you think of as this is the tight end leader?
I mean, I would probably have to split that between Jesse and David Johnson. I mean, they're both guys who have been there for a while. They pretty much know the offense inside out. So, I mean, I definitely view those two guys as like the leaders of the group.
Now, when we talked the first time, one of the things you said during, you know, minis or rookie mini camp was that one of the things you felt you needed to work on was blocking and, you know, keeping your pad level low. Is that still your prime focus, or is it playbook, or is it something else?
I would say a mix between the playbook and then blocking, just because there's always more to learn. There's always more to find out with the playbook. Like, I can learn different positions, this and that. And then, I mean, blocking is something I'm going to always have to work on just because of my height. Like, my height gives me that advantage in the pass game, but at the same time, it gives me a disadvantage in the run game just because of me trying to get extra low just so that I can gain leverage.
We all hear the term keep your pads down, and some of the fans will understand what that means, and some of them won't. They'll just think, okay, you got to be low to the ground, but it's not just being low, right? It's finding the right way to leverage yourself.
Exactly.
And just to point out that maybe some of our listeners aren't familiar with your name, maybe they don't pay attention to all of the football and shorts stuff that's going on, but Faison here is a very sizable gentleman for a tight end. I'm not sure the exact way to put this, but 6'8" and currently 250. Are you up, down? Maybe you lost some weight, added some muscle?
The last time I weighed myself, I was 257, 258.
Oh, okay. Okay. And of course, positive gains, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, just checking that you're not enjoying Pittsburgh too much, because friend of mine
getting some pierogies in you.
Yeah, a friend of mine came in from California, said he gained 10 pounds over the weekend at AB's charity softball game. So just making sure you're on the straight and narrow there. But
definitely watching what I'm eating.
But yeah, that would explain the pad level that Brian was trying to bring up, because you're a lot larger than some of – I mean, tight ends in general are bigger guys, but you're a taller guy, and you have an enormous wingspan from what I understand, very long arms. So
Yeah.
So you definitely stand out walking around town, no doubt. that just kind of cluing in our listeners exactly what we mean there, because I don't want them to picture somebody that's, you know, Roosevelt Nix's size here. It's like a little bowling ball. He may not have the same type of difficulty in that aspect.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Let's put Rosie in the tight end room. So, you know, speaking of guys who are on the team, though, a lot of rookies will, you know, develop a bond with a vet or between each other. And, you know, there'll be guys who step up and mentor you or offer advice. And, you know, there's this whole thing called the Steeler Way, which is supposed to be part of that is that vets pass on what they know. It's not about the fact that you might be trying to take their job. It's the fact that it's about the team. So, I mean, are there any rookies or not rookies, but I mean, are there guys who have done that with you so far? Or do you feel like you're bonded with anybody on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for the most part, a lot of the guys always try to offer help. I mean, I know in the tight end room, like all of the older tight ends always help out me and Scott. They never shy away from like giving us advice on how to do things the right way, the easier way to like do things. And I mean, definitely could see the Steeler Way. I mean, like all those guys definitely always helps us. So.
What is your tight end coach, James Daniel, like? Because I'd actually spoken with Wesley Saunders, who is a former tight end from the Pittsburgh Steelers, too, from a few years ago. And James Daniel actually carried over from Bill Cowher's staff to Mike Tomlin. So he's been around for a very long time. Here he's very old school. Does that come through right now as you guys aren't practicing in pads?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely an old school coach. He's tough on us, but he just wants us to reach our max potential, want to like he just wants us to be great. And so I mean I can definitely understand why he's like hard on us. But yeah, he's definitely an old school guy.
In between now and, I guess, once training camp starts. So training camp starts, and you have that whole back to college kind of feeling. I know for a lot of the vets, it's funny, but for you, it won't be that much different coming from, you know, as a rookie into college. Have you gotten any stories about St. Vincent's and what it's going to be like when you get there?
I mean, so far, I really haven't gotten that many stories. I mean, I know a few guys told me that there's a lot of Steeler fans that are always out there, always showing support. But other than that, I haven't really gotten too many other stories.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There's sometimes as many as 10,000 Steelers fans that can be there for training camp.
Wow.
And on Friday Night Lights, which will be, I think it's the second Friday of camp, it'll be an interesting, I think that'll be an interesting event for you.
Yeah, they've also added the Heinz Field. I think it's the Family Fest, which they haven't done. Yeah. So that's bookended for that weekend. It looks like you guys are going to have the Friday Night Lights in La Trobe. And that was actually televised last year by ESPN. And then you'll have your normal practice on Saturday. And then you go to actually work out at Heinz Field, and they'll have this huge fan fest. But I have to ask, because many, many people, especially Pittsburgh Steelers players, got caught up in the whole Pittsburgh Penguins hockey Stanley Cup run there. By any chance, did you get to partake in any of that? Because it'll give you a good indication of just how crazy and passionate these fans are.
I mean, I wasn't at any of the games, but I was definitely watching them all on TV.
Yeah, what is your impression of the Pittsburgh fan base then?
Oh, I mean, I remember I was with my roommate, Matt Galambos, and we were watching the I don't know if it was before game three or game four. It was game five, actually. And I just saw the fans at the arena, and they were smashing the car in and stuff like that. I was like, wow, like, that's awesome. Like, that's crazy. Like, these fans are, like, dope. So, like, I mean, I definitely think the Pittsburgh fan base is just a crazy fun fan base.
And a very welcoming one, too. I mean, we cannot wait to see what you're capable of on the field.
Wait till you get into Heinz Field and see 60,000 terrible towels twirling.
If somebody had to ask you and say, Faison, we don't know. Tell us something we don't know about you.
Wow, that's kind of a tough question. I mean, I honestly couldn't really think of anything right now. I mean,
any hobbies?
Maybe. I'm not a big dancer.
You're saying Dancing with the Stars is not in your future?
Definitely not in my future. Definitely not in my future.
Hey, as a 6'5 guy here myself, I totally sympathize with you there. I mean, it's just not it's just not in our bones, man.
Yeah. I just sometimes when I'm out there, I just feel like I'm just too long and I'm just everywhere. So I kind of gave it up a long time ago.
I'm obsessed with one other thing, and don't ask me why, because I don't know the answer to why I'm so obsessed with this. But I'm obsessed with nicknames. So the question is, do you have a nickname? And if not, you have to talk to Cam Hayward because he will give you one.
Oh, I mean, back at Fordham, I had a few nicknames. For like short, a lot of people call me FaZe. But I remember after our game versus Bucknell 2 years ago, we have this kid who we kind of sponsor like on the team. He had multiple like seizures growing up. So like one side of his body is frozen. So like he would always come in after like the games and give a post game speech and like all of that. And I remember one time, and like after that game, he said how the defense did good and how the offense did good. And he didn't exactly know how to pronounce my name. So he just said Faisal Olden did really, really good. So ever since then, a lot of people call me Faisal Olden and not Faison Odom. So, I mean, that's one of my main nicknames.
I'm sure you've caught that a lot with telemarketers. People screw up my last name all the time, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I made sure to ask Brian how to properly pronounce your name. There's nothing more embarrassing than that, especially when you young men are coming out of college, and it's smaller colleges especially, because you don't get necessarily the national TV recognition where it's a common name that we've heard. So it's just one of those things. I mean, you could picture it. Somebody's calling and they're trying to get you to sign up for something, and I'm sure they butcher it all the time. But
and of course, you know, it doesn't even matter if you've come from a major college. Just ask Martavius.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Faison, as it is pronounced, tell us, Steelers Nation here, can we follow you on Twitter? Where can we find you on social media and keep track of all your exploits?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a Twitter. I don't too much use it, but it's Swayfe, like Swaephae. And then my Instagram handle is actually Faisal Odin, so it's Phazil _Odin.
That is fantastic. And now we know the story too, so it makes sense. It makes sense.
Exactly.
So, well, we definitely appreciate having you on for the show here, and we look forward to seeing you work out at training camp and some of the exhibition games coming up soon.
Cool. Thanks so much for having me on the show. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, folks, that was Pittsburgh Steelers tight end and rookie Faison Odom from Fordham University. And you've heard how you can follow him on Twitter and Instagram. A very interesting story from a very fascinating young man, if I'd say so myself, Brian.
Absolutely. It's a great story, great young man, and we look forward to seeing how things work out there.
Folks, once again, Faison Odom, and we look forward to seeing him in the black and gold coming up. Until next time, be safe, be good, and we will catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.